Michelle Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi.
Well, they are always a topic of conversation, but especially so this summer, and I'm talking about Minnesota state bird, the mosquito.
Oh, you've noticed them, huh?
Yeah, they're kind of hard to avoid.
Mosquitoes. Well, gosh, they are a big topic because there are worldwide thousands of species of mosquitoes. Minnesota, just over 50 species of mosquitoes. However, only 28 bite us.
And they all live here.
Well, I think other people in the state would disagree.
Anybody I've talked to, yeah, I would say that, yes.
Mosquitoes are ubiquitous. Urban, rural, woods, prairies, any place I've ever worked in the field, mosquitoes have always been a part of the package at this time of year. I know people like to say the size of hummingbirds, but not true.
No.
Half inch, maybe, our biggest mosquitoes. And then they get very tiny. Most of them are more middle to tiny size. Those biggest ones are the first species to come out. And I don't know if this is true, but my guess has been that those big ones are right away early in the spring because there are so many fewer predators. So there hasn't been the selection pressure to, you know, be really fast flyers and good hiders and that kind of thing. So you can be kind of big and slow and in the early part of the year, but not by now. So all of our mosquitoes, the females need a meal of blood from some other organism to fully develop their eggs after they've mated. So that's what all the intensity is about. It's about the ongoing persistence of the species.
Mm-hmm.
And so once the adults mate, which happens in a swarm. So the males, after they are hatched out, they actually form groups, swarms. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of these, but just a couple times I've been in the right place at the right time. And it's a real, you know, there are thousands, of course, in these swarms. And I noticed it not because I could see it initially, but because I could hear it. And they set up a whine, it's probably, you know, a whine for your species, you know, not just any old whine will do. And the males all are whining in unison, and the females come to that sound, and they fly into the swarm, and the mating happens in the swarm. The females go off, and pretty much right away are on the hunt for something. And as I said, not every mosquito species is a biting of humans, nor are all of them biting mammals. So reptiles, amphibians, birds, and mammals, all those critters are subject to attack. So once the female has found her blood meal, she then has a rest period while the eggs get fully developed. And once they're ready, then she goes to look for a place to lay her eggs. And females will lay their eggs in, depending upon, again, the species, and they will lay them either in pools, and again, this is a fishless thing that they're looking for. So standing water, pools of different kinds could be, you know, like you've heard, I suppose everybody's heard, you know, tires thrown in the woods or whatever, any place water pools, some that's perfect for some species, other species, you know, want something a little different. Some species actually that use pools actually specialize in what are called phytotelmata, which are plant ponds. So these are the little tiny collections of water that happen in the leaves of plants or in little hollows in roots or the trunks of trees where water can pool. And that's a great example of that is a single species of mosquito, Wyomia smithii, that lays its eggs exclusively in the water that's enclosed in a pitcher plant.
Mm.
And they're larvae and pupae develop in the pitcher plant pond. So there are lots of really interesting relationships with respect to the breeding habitat. They're not all just one, focused on one kind of breeding habitat. Other mosquitoes will that don't use pooled water, standing water, they use just damp ground that they anticipate will flood at some point. So we'll have some water for a period of time. So the eggs are laid either singly in pools or they're laid in little rafts. So you may, if you're looking close, these are small still because the eggs are very small, but they will actually collection of single eggs rafted on the surface of the water. And then singly on the damp soil, if that's the situation that they're using. The development of the eggs will depend in the case of once the water forms in a damp soil place or in a pool, really depends on water temperature. I think we've maybe mentioned that before, that the timing of emergence as a larvae, of the larvae will be dependent on the temperatures of the water. And the warmer the water, the faster they develop. So anywhere from a week to 2 weeks, it might take for the larvae to grow up to the point where they can go to the next phase. While the larvae are living in a pool of water, wherever that might be, they use most of them, not entirely all of them, but most of them use a snorkel-like device to breathe. So if you go to a standing water pool somewhere and you disturb the water, or you just look at this just under the surface of the water, you will see the larvae kind of hanging at an angle with their little snorkel right up at the surface to breathe. And they need to breathe pretty regularly. So, you know, that's where they stay. Mm-hmm. But if something disturbs the surface or something approaches them, a predator in the water, then they'll withdraw the snorkel and they'll move around by kind of a wriggling motion. And that's why they're often called wrigglers or wigglers. Until to try to evade the prey or get away from the surface. And then once things have calmed down or, you know, when they can't stand it anymore, then they, you know, will come back to the surface. Then they transition into a pupa. And the pupa are kind of comma shaped. And they're lighter than water, so they will float at the surface. They too, if there's some kind of danger, they sense some kind of movement, or they will also use a jerking motion to try to move down into the water column. But eventually, they're not moving. They'll float back up. And then they emerge at the surface of the water into an adult. They rest on the surface to dry out, and then they take off.
Jill Anderson regularly updates us with the goings-on in our woods and waters. Thanks, I guess, for filling us in on mosquitoes.
You're welcome.